to another episode of The Back Porch. I'm Carly. I am, well, I'm not your usual host, and I'm not your usual backup host, but I'm here. And I'm a pastor here at First Grapevine. This is a podcast from our church that we like to do where we talk about the Bible, we talk about some nonsense and things going on in the church. I'm joined by one of my co-hosts. It's kind of lonely down here in the basement. In the dungeon where we work. Just kidding, I'm not supposed to call it a dungeon. But I'm joined by one of my co-hosts, Alan. Alan, will you tell us who you are and what you do?
I'm Alan. I'm a pastor here. I do missions and family. No, I don't do family ministries anymore. I do missions and outreach and pastoral care and those types of things. And I think it's okay to call this the dungeon in October, because I was going to say that we're a skeleton crew today.
Ooh, that's good.
See? Dad jokes.
I like that. So it's just the two of us today, and we're going to have a little bit of a short podcast, and that's okay. So if you're walking until the end of the podcast, well, your walk just got shorter, or being on the elliptical machine just got shorter. You can just mow half of your lawn while you're doing this.
Or you can listen twice.
Listen to it backwards and see if there are any secret messages.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know how you would do that, but...
Yeah, it was easy back in the days of vinyl.
I don't remember those days.
I do. Those were good days.
So, should we dive right into the Bible?
We can dive right in. We can talk about the series that just ended and the series we're about to start and today's scripture.
All right. So, I'll kind of give us an overview, and then Alan can dive into the specific passage that we're talking about this week. So we just ended our series on focusing on our spiritual core called Revive, talking about things like offering grace, forgiveness, reading your Bible, worshiping, praying, those things that if we were to strip away everything that we did at church and start from the ground up, what are the things that we're going to incorporate? What are those things that are going to make us spiritually healthy people? And we said those are the things that if we can work them out like a muscle, they get stronger and stronger, and it kind of bleeds into the rest of our lives. So we just finished that series, and we're starting a new series called The Harvest Miracle. And it's our stewardship series, which if stewardship is a foreign word to you, then just ignore it. It's about, it's...
I like ignoring words I don't like.
Yeah, that's what I do. We're talking about planting seeds for tomorrow and for, I guess, the thing, taking care of what you've been given. And so what that looks like in a very holistic manner, what that looks like in your life, what it looks like in your faith life, which shouldn't be separate, but in the different areas that you live in. So Alan, so we're starting the series this Sunday, if you're listening on Friday or Saturday, and Alan's going to fill us in on the specific scripture that we are preaching on.
Yeah, and that, well, you know, one of the nice things about this podcast is we do this for you, so you don't have to necessarily read along. And so I'm not going to read this entire scripture because it's pretty long, but it's from the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a prophet, which was someone that was called to speak God's truth to the people. And this particular passage is in the middle, and I'm not going to get into all the nerdy historical details like Grant would do. But basically, the Israel is under siege. Jerusalem is under siege. They've been occupied by a foreign army, and Jeremiah is in like the prison area of the palace, and he has a vision, and God says, "Hey, you know, your cousin's going to come and offer you land to buy, and you should do that because it's your right. It's the lineage." So he was the next in line to buy this said land. And so, you know, he knew that God was right when, sure enough, the cousin shows up and says, "Here, there's this plot of land that is yours to buy, so it's time to buy." Now, keep in mind, there's no land to buy. It's all being ruled and controlled by an opposing army. And so Jeremiah says, "Yeah, great." So he buys the land. He makes a big deal of putting it in a clay pot and signing the deed and all of that kind of thing. And this particular passage ends with For thus says the Lord of God of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. And so this is a passage about hope, a passage about a future, that even though it looks very bleak and there is no possibility of getting out of this, I mean, it certainly didn't seem that way. Nonetheless, Jeremiah is investing in the future because he knows there will be a time when God delivers and he will be able to use that land. And so it's kind of, you know, planning for the future. It ties into the whole stewardship idea of, you know, we're planting seeds now so that they can be harvested later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things like maybe we're not going to see, you know, the fruits of our own labor, but we still give into that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I really love tree imagery. When I was a youth director, we used it all the time, probably overkill, but it's something I really connect with. And I've never owned a house, but if I did, I'd like to think I would plant a tree if necessary. I probably wouldn't, but I like to think that I would. This idea that we're buying into something that isn't going to benefit us directly. It's a way of saying, I think it's a way of saying yes to God and saying yes to hope, like you said, Alan, that something good is going to happen, which I don't know about you, but after the last year and a half, it feels like this pandemic is dragging on and I'm sick of talking about it and I'm sick of talking about it. But I think when we can look towards hope and when we can muster up just a little bit of hope, it makes a difference in how we live and how we act and how we think.
Yeah, and I've been accused of being an optimist, and I am unapologetically so. So it's always going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
To quote Annie, the sun is always going to come out tomorrow, right? Tomorrow is always a brighter. No matter how bad it gets, I try not to let things get me down. And I know that, you know, I'm tired of talking about it too, but this has been a rough time for all of us. I mean, the life that we had before, whether it's our church life or our work life or our personal relationships, they're just changed and they're different, and it can be a little bit too much sometimes. And so this is a reminder that there is a future, there is a hope, that this too shall end, mm-hmm. or at least change. And as God promised Jeremiah, that this land will once again have land to purchase and things to be planted. You know, that's just, it's a good reminder of this. And I liked some of the imagery that Pastor Mike used in his e-letter thing that he sent out this week. And if you don't receive that, you can go onto our website and get on the mailing list to get that. But he was talking about stewardship and the idea of giving, and he used two stories in it, that one of which is my favorite story. One of my favorite stories in the Bible has my favorite character in the Bible, and that is the feeding of the 5,000, and how, you know, God took this small offering and multiplied it and just produced this great miracle. And my favorite character in that story is this little boy who doesn't even have a name, and he comes forward with thousands and thousands and thousands of people with the full confidence that his lunch would be enough to feed everybody. And I just love the optimism of children. You know, he's like, you know what? I've got these few things. Just use this. Here, you know, you're God. I know you can do this. And sure enough, it happens. And the other one was the widow's mite, where, you know, this woman who is approaching the temple, and everyone, all of these big rich people are throwing in handfuls of money and all of this money, and she takes out this one coin and puts it in there. And to her, that was the biggest thing she could possibly do. She sacrificially gave to her God and to her church. And those are two good stories about that, what our small gifts, there's no such thing as too small of a gift, whether that's your actual monetary gifts or your volunteer time, your prayers, whatever it is, that can make a significant difference in the life of this church and in your own life.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking before about things changing, it made me think of and our relationships having changed. I think that brings a lot of grief, and we've talked about that a little bit here. And I think the thought is that, oh, these things are gone, these things have died. And so, like, the way that we buy things is, I don't know about you, but I buy more things online and through pickup than I did before. And so while the traditional grocery experience has gone away, something has been born out of that, a new way of doing things. And that's just a silly example, but I think we have to hold on to that being true for all parts of our lives, that maybe something went away during this time, but choosing to invest in the future is choosing to believe that new things will come. Rachel Held Evans, who is one of my favorite authors, talked about like the church changing and how some things don't happen like they used to, and things, how it was really hard for her because she grew up in the church and she grew up really devout. And she said, death isn't something that resurrection people worry about. Or she says something like that, and she says it really well. But the idea that there is new life coming, and we just have to have hope in it. I think also something I like that you mentioned, Alan, about the feeding of the 5,000. Pastor Mike said in his e-letter that you can either have the mindset, you can either be like the boy, or you can be like the disciples, I think, who are complaining that there's not enough. So do you have this scarcity mentality, or do you have a mentality of abundance?
Abundance, yep.
Yeah, which is really all that this is about. Stewardship is about believing that God's given us everything, and so this is us taking care of it. And so Mike used a story on Sunday and he was talking about grace, but I think it goes into stewardship as well. He got a pretty large gift card for a restaurant, and he went out to eat. He used a gift card, and then he gave the rest of the money that was on the gift card to the server, who hadn't done a great job because he was really busy and overworked and the place was crowded. And the server was just so excited and touched. And Mike thought, oh, well, it's no big deal. This wasn't like, it's no skin off my back. This is something someone gave me. And so this idea that God gives us everything, so how we use it it's not really ours anyway.
Yeah, I mean, everything's a gift. And so what do we do with that gift, and how do we pay it forward? That was a big phrase back in the 90s. I guess it still exists, but they haven't made a movie out of it. Probably haven't seen it.
No.
All right, well, it's good. And just pay it forward. And I've done that type of thing before, too. And it, you know, you don't think of it at the time. But, you know, I've always talked about the small things in life, the little gifts that we can give others, and our attention. You know, I mean, as a parent, for example, hey, come play basketball with me. I'm too busy to play basketball, but I'm not going to miss the opportunity to go play basketball, because those days are going to end. That's going to change, mm-hmm. right? And so you're investing in that relationship of the future, whether that's with friends or your church friends or kids or family members or whatever. And I think that's, you know, I like that enthusiasm, again, that I think that we as adults sometimes forget. We get jaded. We get cynical. We get negative, pessimistic, you know, the opposite of what I am. And we tend to do that. And it's just like, you know, we want to hole up and close up. And especially after this last year and a half, I mean, if we're talking frankly and honestly, there's not as many people in the seats on Sunday morning. And despite the fact that I know that there are people watching at home, that community has changed. It is different. And, you know, that can be hard. It can be something that you can get resigned about and be upset about and just wallow in it, or you can see it as an opportunity. You can see it as an opportunity to reach other people, to reach new people, to build on the community that we have here, and to take, like I, you know, former mentor of both Grant and I at our former church, changed the name of the offering time during Sunday morning worship to extravagant generosity. And I don't think he coined that term. But you'll hear me say that oftentimes, And the reason we do that is because we have a God who is extravagantly generous to us. And what do we do with that generosity? The natural reaction is to be generous back and to give those gifts back to someone else, to something else, to a bigger thing. And that's kind of what stewardship is. I mean, God created the world. God called that world good. God created us and called us good and said, now be stewards of this place that I have made for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the true. That is true of the church. That is true of the community. And so we are stewards of this place, of this world that God has created and given to us, and we need to take care of that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
So do you have any closing thoughts on this passage or on the series, or should we move on to a little nonsense break?
We'll get to the nonsense break.
Okay.
I think, yeah, just be optimistic. It's all going to be okay. God's got this.
Okay, so over the past last couple of weeks, Alan has given us an update on his yard decorations. If you don't know, Alan is a Halloween enthusiast, and this year he has a lot of skeletons, like plastic, I guess.
Yeah,
plastic skeletons that he's been arranging different ways each week. So, Alan, what is this week's arrangement?
Yeah, so this week, in years past, the skeletons have stayed the same, and this year we decided to change up. So the first week, if you have heard this before, you're going to hear it again. First week, they were all on the beach theme because it was still hot, so out sunning with sunglasses. Second week, they switched to playing badminton, so they had a badminton thing in the front yard. And then this weekend, they switched again, and now they are camping. And I called it on Facebook the Bone Scouts of America, because that's cheesy and awesome. But we have a tent. We have I have a little fire that I made with the orange lights, and so it's a fire
nice.
In the middle. We've got some marshmallows being roasted. They're just empty forks right now. I haven't figured out. I need to talk to you, craft person, about what would be the best thing to replicate marshmallows. And then I found a bunch of the old Cub Scout shirts that my boys used to wear when they were in Cub Scouts.
Oh.
And so they're in uniform. Yes. And so the Cub Scouts are out in full force in the front yard. And that's this week's. And then I'll update next week on what switches this weekend, mainly because I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay. Did I see in the picture that one of the skeletons is doing like the Boy Scout sign?
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose. That's funny.
But I'm glad that you noticed that.
Awesome. Well, the only nonsense I have is also church business. Well, okay, here's my nonsense. I went to a crafting conference, took a class on round weaving, and now I've bought way too many materials to make round weavings, and my living room is full of yarn and wool and weird objects that I'm incorporating into my weaving. So, and if you want me to send you a picture, I'd be happy to, because they're weird, and so I need someone that will appreciate them. So, in church business, do you have any other nonsense? I was thinking
not
this
necessary.
Could be like a nonsense commercial.
We can do a nonsense. I mean, I was just going to say on the skeleton things, I've had two people now request me to do a photo mailing list so that I can send people updates every week on this thing. And that gives me immense joy that people want to see the update. So that's the end of my nonsense.
Awesome. My church-related business also has to do with crafting. Shocker. If you don't know, we started growth groups, these small groups that meet together, have a time of Bible study and pray together. And we have one that's a crafting group. So we have a devotional at the beginning, do a prayer time, and then we make something together. And each month we're doing something different. So yesterday was just adult coloring, starting off simple. But next month we're making little gnomes and little snowmen out of socks. And no sewing required. Bring a hot glue gun if you have it. And it'll be real fun. So I'm just putting that out there. If you need to take a break during the day and do something fun, or you have no Christmas decorations and you live in the Christmas capital of Texas and you need to stock up, well, come make a Christmas decoration with us.
That's a good invitation.
Yeah, we're meeting on November 9th at 10 a.m.
I may come because I have a gnome, but I haven't made a gnome, so
yes.
I need to add that to my list.
Yes, you should come.
And as we, I guess, get close to the end here, and this was a short episode, and we apologize, or you're welcome. I'm not sure which one it should be. I need someone off air to help me process the end of Ted Lasso.
Is it the end?
The end of this season.
I haven't watched it yet.
Well, that's why I'm not, so no spoilers here. But if you are a Ted Lasso fan and you want to talk about the character development and arc of the character Nate, shoot me an email.
Oh, no. Something happens with Nate?
We will talk because I'm struggling with this. It's really good, and that's why I'm struggling with it.
Ooh.
So there you go.
I did see several people on social media posting about Nate, and
yes.
I didn't put two and two together. Okay.
So there you go.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And I want to say thanks to those of you who reach out and give us feedback and share your own thoughts and comments with us on the podcast. I'm thinking particularly of Julie and Martha, who reached out to us last week. That just, I don't know about, I don't want to speak for everyone else, but sometimes it's weird talking into a microphone on the in the basement and feeling like it's a conversation between the four of us when we really feel like it's a conversation between us and you. And so thanks to those of you who, and if you, I'm not trying to say like everyone needs to mail us an essay every week with their thoughts. You can if you want, but it's just a good reminder that this is a community that we pray for one another, we care for one another, and we really want to grow with each other. And so thanks for joining us, and thanks for being a part of this family.
Alan, I like that.
Yeah. Alan, you want to sign us out?
Yeah. So until next time, go everywhere and eat everything.
Bye. I can tell that we are going to be friends.